Get your Bibles, turn to the book of Acts, Acts chapter number 6, Acts chapter number 6. What we're going to do tonight is a culmination of over 2.5 years of praying and soul searching and asking God what He have us to do here as a church. And just a few minutes, we're going to publicly ordain 2 new deacons. And we're excited about what God is going to do in and through them. So just for a couple of minutes this evening, I want to preach on this matter of the biblical deacon. Acts chapter 6, we'll read verses 1 through 7 in just a moment or two. There's two offices inside the local New Testament church. One is that of the pastor. The other is the office of deacon. Tonight we assemble together to install 2 brothers in the office of biblical deacon here at Sharon Baptist Church. But before we ask them to come forward and to kneel for the laying on of hands, we need to understand what the Bible has to say about these special men the Bible called deacons. And the Bible is really clear when it talks about why that we have deacons. Acts chapter number 6 records a situation inside the early New Testament church where a particular element of that church felt they were being neglected. The apostles could not meet their needs of the widows and carry out their ministerial duties. So they appointed men to work among the people of that church. That would free them up and allow them the freedom to pray and study and to prepare to preach God's word. Understand this, that the duties of a biblical deacon hasn't changed over the last 2,000 years. There's still a need today for men to manage the day-to-day operation of the local New Testament church so that the pastor might give himself entirely to prayer and a Bible study of the Word of God. So let's stand for the reading of God's Word found in Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. We'll then pray asking God to challenge our hearts for this on this Word, the matter of the biblical deacon. Notice what the Bible says. And in those days, when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because of the widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man of faith, and the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you for a few moments this evening, Father, I pray you'll be a help to us as we understand what is a biblical deacon. Father, would you bless now the preaching and teaching of your word? Oh, Father, in just a few moments as we lay hands on these two New Testament biblical deacons, Father, I pray that their life and their ministry would far outshine, Father, others that have been in the past. Father, I thank you, Father, you can bless in a very unusual way today. We pray and ask these things. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want you to notice just 2 quick things this evening. First of all, I want you to notice that a biblical deacon must be a saint. Must be a saint. While this isn't actually stated in our text, it's certainly applied here in Acts chapter number 6. The biblical deacon must be a saved man. In Acts chapter 6 and verse number 3, the last part of the verse, the Bible says that he must be full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. You understand this, that the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God begins with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit at the moment of salvation. And then from our Wednesday prayer and Bible study time, from the book of Proverbs, we understood this, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. So understanding this, that as the man begins to fear the Lord, having that reverential respect, having that holy awe for God and His Word, having the fullness of the Holy Spirit dwelling in him, we understand that they must be saved. So, it's a foregone conclusion, first of all, this evening, that there must be a relationship with the Savior. If you're going to be a biblical deacon, there must be a relationship with the Savior. Notice the church was commanded, the Bible says, to look out from among you. That word, those words, look ye out from among you, is referring to the church membership. So to be a member of a local New Testament church, guess what? You're going to have to be saved. A lot of churches have paid a very terrible price for allowing unsaved people into their membership, whether they knew at the time they were lost or not, makes no difference. Unsaved people and carnal Christians wreak havoc inside the local New Testament church. The Bible admonishes us to examine ourselves to ensure that we are genuinely saved. In 2 Corinthians 13:5, that familiar verse, the Bible says, examine yourself, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? Well, we see, first of all, if you're going to be a biblical deacon, they must have a relationship with the Savior. But then secondly, there must be a recognition by the other saints. Notice that the saints were to look ye out in verse number 6. Those three words, look ye out, mean to inspect or examine very carefully, very closely with their eyes. And then after they examine them, we find in verse number 6, the Bible said that they choose. And so they were to take men from among their own number, men that they have observed, men that they have trusted, men that they have honored and respected as being a good, godly man. 1 Timothy 3:10 tells us this, and let these also be first proved, and then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Well, notice, if you're going to be a biblical deacon, you must, number one, have a relationship with the Savior. Number two, you must have the recognition by the saints. And notice, thirdly, there must be a recommendation by the Spirit. Notice in verse number 3, the Bible said that these men were to be full of the Holy Ghost. That is simply this, that these men who were to fill this office of a biblical deacon have to have already fulfilled the command in Ephesians 5:18, which tells us this, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That word full literally means this. It means thoroughly permeated with. It means complete. It means lacking nothing. It means perfect. And it carries the idea of being controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. And this ought to be an everyday practice for every believer, whether you're a deacon or just a born-again Christian. But for a deacon, my friend, this ought to be an essential in his life. So, Jonathan and Zach, if you're going to be a blessing to this church, listen, and not be a burden to this church, then you're going to have to walk in the Spirit so that the fruit of the Spirit can be seen in your life. Reminded of Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and longsuffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. So, brothers, if you walk in the Spirit, you'll be a blessing to Sharon Baptist Church. But I'm telling you this evening, if you guys walk in your flesh, you'll hinder everything that God wants to do and is doing and wants to accomplish here at Sharon Baptist Church. And so I need you to determine in your heart to be Spirit-filled men. Spirit-filled men. Or if not, just stay away from the office of deacon. Well, not only is a biblical deacon a saint, but then notice, lastly, a biblical deacon must also be a servant. You know, initially, deacons were chosen to be the servants of the church. That word deacon comes from a word that means to wait tables. It carries the idea of serving with such dedication that the servant kicks up dust while he serves. He's moving that fast. He's quick to accomplish what needs to be done. And I think maybe that's why the Bible says that deacons are to, notice the wording, use the office of deacon, just not fill the office of deacon. Listen, God doesn't need people to fill the office of deacon. He needs some godly men that are Spirit-filled that will use the office of deacon. Well, notice, he is to serve the Father. When we take time to look at the list of the qualifications of 1 Timothy 3, verses 8 through 13, we're not going to go over that list again. We covered that list on numerous occasions, preparing you as you choose who you want to be your deacon. It's easy to see that deacons are expected to live godly and separated lives. They are to be obedient to the Lord. They ought to be a surrendered servant to none other than God the Father. In our previous messages regarding deacon qualification, we covered every one of these qualifications in very great detail. So we're not going to cover them again this evening, but we'll just remind you that in 1 Timothy 3, verses 8 through 13, we find the biblical qualifications for deacon. I'm here to stand to tell you, as the pastor of Sharon Baptist Church, that each of these two men and their spouses meet these qualifications found in 1 Timothy 3, verses 8 through 13. Well, we see that deacons are to serve the Father. But then notice in Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, he is to serve the faithful. They are to serve the faithful. See, the deacon is to serve both the pastor and the congregation. Understand this, that the pastor needs the deacons to help him in his ministry. One man can't do it all, nor should one man be expected to do it all. The deacons are to be active in the work of the ministry. They should visit the sick. They ought to care for the bereaved. They ought to head off problems the church may encounter and be a buffer zone between the problems and the pastor. They should take care of the business of the church under the supervision of the pastor of the church and generally be a servant to the man of God. You see, the deacons aren't, by the way, pastors' private slaves, but they ought to be his partners in the ministry that God has entrusted him with. Remember that primarily leadership role has been entrusted and given by God to the local New Testament pastor. I'm reminded of Hebrews 13:17 that says this, "Obey them which have rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." You see, here's the truth that many churches have backwards, is that the office of the deacon was not created to have a conglomerate of men run the church. It was created to serve the pastor and serve the people. I'm asking you to take time to be a friend to the man of God. Take time to be a friend to the people. Free the pastor up so he can devote himself to the ministry of prayer and studying God's word, preparing for his preaching responsibilities. Well, not only does the pastor in the pulpit, but notice this, the people in the pews need a deacon as well. Men, I'm asking you, take the time to serve your local New Testament church. Be there for them when they need help. Too many times in our Baptist circles, we're a day late and a dollar short and we miss the boat. And we try to go back and say, "Oh, I'm sorry I wasn't there. I just heard about this." Let's try to be proactive in our work, proactive in our ministry. Look after the welfare and do everything that's within your power to maintain the peace and the harmony inside the local New Testament church. I want to caution you to avoid getting caught up in cliques and those small groups, that small circle of friends that you have come in contact with over the last number of years. I ask you to be a servant to all the people, all the time, whether they are in your small circle of friends or not. Notice when the Bible says over this business in Acts chapter 6 and verse 3, it's referring to the business of ministering to people. And I know down through the years, the church has expanded the role of deacons in some churches to include church financial matters. And I'm not necessarily against that, but the deacon must remember this. First and foremost, they serve as the role of a servant. And ministry must come first. Well, we see he is to serve the Father. He is to serve the faithful, the pastor, and the people. But notice, lastly, he is to serve the fallen. You know, the deacon also has a duty to the backslider. The deacon also has a duty to that lost man. In short, deacons need and ought to be and have a bold witness. It's very interesting that when the early church appointed the first deacons, the Bible said the church experienced great blessing and great growth. Look at verse 7. And the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and the great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. You see, the deacon ought to be a person who openly expresses their faith. There'd be no qualms when the Holy Spirit touches your hearts about speaking to someone about their need to be saved. You ought to be open and express your faith and diligently work to bring the backslider and the lost into relationship with Jesus Christ. I think as you study the early church, you find that the man named Stephen rings a bell. A man named Philip as well. Both of these men exhibited both of these qualities. So as we close this message tonight, understand this, that the work is great. The standard is high. The need is right now. And the rewards are tremendous. So Jonathan and Zach, you're needed as much today as they were over 2,000 years ago. The church needs dedicated deacons who take their responsibility seriously and serve their church community faithfully. What the church doesn't need is a man or a group of men who believe they're God's gift to the church and who position themselves inside the local New Testament church to be a little dictator. Those men who receive the office of deacon and perform their duties properly are promised to be blessed in their spiritual walk. 1 Timothy 3, verse 13 says this, "For they have used the office of deacon well, purchased to themselves a good degree, and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus." That term, good degree, literally refers to this. It means respect. So deacons who serve well are highly esteemed by their church family. They're also promised, notice what it says, great boldness. That means they'll speak the truth of God's word boldly because they're living a life that they should and being blessing to the people of God. God will empower them and fill them to speak boldly that the house of God might increase. So, Jonathan and Zach, be a great deacon. Be a friend to your pastor, but be a servant to all the people. And if you do these things, the Lord will surely bless you as you work and minister for Him. Let's pray.